tongue. "Take it easy. I don't have a glove."
"You wimp,"
she said contemptuously. Annoyed, he fired the ball at her and heard it smack in the leather.
"Now that's more like it," she said.
Standing by the dinosaur, Gennaro continued to play catch as he talked to Malcolm. "How does this sick dinosaur fit into your theory?"
"It's predicted," Malcolm said.
Gennaro shook his head.
"Is anything not predicted by your theory?"
"Look," Malcolm said, "it's nothing to do with me. It's chaos theory. But I notice nobody is willing to listen to the consequences of the mathematics, because they imply very large consequences for human life. Much larger than Heisenberg's principle or Gödel's theorem, which everybody rattles on about. Those are actually rather academic considerations, philosophical considerations. But chaos theory concerns everyday life. Do you know why computers were first built?"
"No," Gennaro said.
"Burn it in there,"
Lex yelled. "Computers were built in the late 1940s because mathematicians like John von Neumann thought that if you had a computer, a machine to handle a lot of variables simultaneously, you would be able to predict the weather. Weather would finally fall to human understanding, and men believed that dream for the next 40 years. They believed that prediction was just a function of keeping track of things. If you knew enough, you could predict anything. That's been a cherished scientific belief since Newton."
"And?"
"Chaos theory throws it right out the window. It says that you can never predict certain phenomena at all. You can never predict the weather more than a few days away. All the money that has been spent on long-range forecasting, about $500 million in the last few decades, is money wasted. It's a fool's errand. It's as pointless as trying to turn lead into gold. We look back at the alchemists and laugh at what they were trying to do, but future generations will laugh at us the same way. We've tried the impossible, and spent a lot of money doing it. Because, in fact, there are great categories of phenomena that are inherently unpredictable."
"Chaos says that?"
"Yes. And it is astonishing how few people care to hear it," Malcolm said. "I gave all this information to Hammond long before he broke ground on this place. You're going to engineer a bunch of prehistoric animals and set them on an island? Fine. A lovely dream. Charming. But it won't go as planned. It is inherently unpredictable, just as the weather is."
"You told him this?" Gennaro said.
"Yes. I also told him where the deviations would occur. Obviously, the fitness of the animals to the environment was one area. This stegosaur is 100 million years old. It isn't adapted to our world. The air is different, the solar radiation is different, the land is different, the insects are different, the sounds are different, the vegetation is different, everything is different. The oxygen content is decreased. This poor animal's like a human being at 10,000 feet altitude. Listen to him wheezing."
"And the other areas?"
"Broadly speaking, the ability of the park to control the spread of life forms, because the history of evolution is that life escapes all barriers. Life breaks free. Life expands to new territories. Painfully, perhaps even dangerously, but life finds a way." Malcolm shook his head.
"I don't mean to be philosophical, but there it is."
Gennaro looked over. Ellie and Grant were across the field, waving their arms and shouting.
"Did you get my coke?" Dennis Nedry asked as Muldoon came back into the control room. Muldoon didn't bother to answer. He went directly to the monitor and looked at what was happening.